O'Hero Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hero Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hero Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hero Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides at CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose, as your topic, fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now! This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And here we are, another week of Fish Talk Radio on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. I am Neil Taylor with Strike 3 Kayak Fishing, and we're just cruising along through another year, fishing nearly every day. Everything's going along nicely. Captain Jason, Captain Travis have other things to do this week. They're doing the ICAST show and that whole thing, so I'm covering the show. And we brought back in a guy that we had him on, and all our listeners of the show said, you need to keep bringing that guy back on because he's interesting. Paul Bristow.
Well, thanks, Neil. Hey, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being here.
Paul is a very good fisherman, a very knowledgeable guy in the fishing industry with tackle and other things. Spends a lot of time at the Skyway Piers as an employee of theirs, and Paul is a wealth of information, and we're going to have Paul talk more than I'm going to talk this hour.
Well, hey, like I said, thanks for having me, Neil. Always nice to be here, and boy, when we first said hello, we were talking about Pompano, and that's been kind of a hot topic at the Skyway right now. Is, you know, we've had a couple of years of Pompano that weren't great bites. I mean, there'd be a period of a week or two. But I would say the last 10 days has been one of the stronger Pompano bites in several years. I don't know if you've seen some of that in the water, but we're definitely seeing some of that, not only on the piers, but, you know, on some of the approach sections to both piers also.
It is evidence of the efforts of myself and Captain Scott Moore. So last year's Pompano bite was dreadful, and we got wind of it that the poachers in Manatee County were putting nets down and wiping them out, which would directly affect your fish that you catch at the piers.
I have heard the same thing. In fact, I heard a few awful stories of nets that were just left because they got chased.
Yep.
And I don't know if you guys heard that, but the fish were just dead in the net then for days and days, and the FWC just pulled the net out with thousands of dead fish. And, boy, that's you just can't have that kind of stuff.
You know, and everyone's critical of me of my interaction with the FWC, but I get along very well with the field officers, and I talked to the regional director, and then Scott talked to the regional director after me when
right.
he caught wind of this going on, and we figured it out pretty fast. Their three best officers, the guys that went out and made the nighttime cases,
uh-huh.
they were all promoted.
Okay.
So there was no officers out at night. So we talked to them. We said, you know, it's up to you guys to protect our resources, and if no one's patrolling at night, you are not protecting our resources. So they trained their staff, and they went out there, and they put heat on these guys. So the poaching virtually stopped because we told them exactly where it was going on, and they put pressure on them.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and I don't mean to speak, you know, ill of the commercial industry, but some of the night guys literally are in boats with motors and with nets that they will just dump if they're chased.
Yep.
They will get rid of everything it's a throwaway operation to them. They just don't want to get caught. And at night, you see a lot of that. I'm at the pier at very late hours. Most guys are great. They're nice. But there's a few, and they're usually out in the middle of the night, and I'm sure you know the type I mean. That, like I said, everything is disposable to them, from the motor to the boat to the netting. They will just, you know, discard whatever they can to get away. And they're willing to do pretty much whatever to get a big catch of expensive fish.
Yep, and they're not good guys. A poacher is a common thief. I don't like the guy who's stealing from the grocery store. The guy that's stealing our marine resources is also damaging my business. So
exactly.
I'm very much against anyone that does anything illegal out there. And we're happy to say that they put a big dent in those guys, and we're not surprised to hear the Pompano action's better this year because of it.
Actually, much better. And boy, if it holds into the late summer, we often get a pickup in the fall anyway. So
right.
We might have a great late summer, early fall bite. And we're excited. And, you know, the fun thing at the pier is when you fish Pompano meal, and again, we were talking before we started, the presentation you use is usually a swim jig with some kind of teaser. But that presentation isn't good for just Pompano. It's great for jacks, blue runners, mackerel. Sometimes you hook a cobia on there. I mean, it's just a great method for pier fishing, or even on the deep edge of a flat. It's just a great method overall. So when people are new to lures, boy, that's one thing they can learn pretty fast and catch a bunch of fish. And it's not hard to learn, really.
No, it's easy. And you know, that Pompano jig and teaser is exactly like Paul said. You'll catch everything. You'll even catch sheep's head on the thing.
Yep. I've caught a few sheep's head. Every
now and then, snapper, catch sheep's head. You mentioned cobia, and I tie a cobia teaser that's twice the length of my Pompano teaser.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
So, yeah, I've got some in the car. I'll show you on the way out. But my nephew caught his first legal-sized cobia this week, and he caught it on the teaser.
Wow, that's cool. We get enough people that catch cobia on that jig and on the teaser. We've actually had a decent amount of cobia reported just over the past week. You know, about probably 2 months ago, we had pretty good reportings. You know, a lot of fish are lost at the piers because they get in the pilings.
Right.
But a lot of big fish are hooked. But just this week, I had a couple knowledgeable guys say, hey, we saw some big cobia at night. They didn't hook them, but they saw a lot. One guy, you know, saw four in one night. And he said they were big fish, and there was usually, you know, at least two and sometimes three fish. So that's probably another fish that, you know, typically this time of year we do get a little push into the bay, and we could be seeing a little bit of that right now as well.
Yeah, we talked about this last time I had you on. The biggest cobia I've ever seen were off the Skyway piers.
Yep. I have still yet to catch one of those monsters. That's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
I've caught enough cobia, and I've caught enough keepers, but the monster fish, the one that you look at and looks like a log, that's the one I'm still waiting for. So that's still on my list. But you can see those fish at the pier quite often. I see them up by me by Apollo Beach. They tend to like to follow manatees and rays, and the power plant at Apollo Beach brings those in. But really, the deep edge of any flat, Neil, you know, wherever the rays cruise, those fish will cruise. They just like to be around something. It doesn't have to be anything complex. They like to be around other things.
True.
Whether that's a log or a ray or a bunch of weeds, they're just more comfortable. A sea turtle? I've seen them on sea turtles.
My father used to wade fish down there where you usually see me. He would wade on that first flat.
Right.
And he would stay in the water there so long, Kobe would swim up to him thinking he was a piling.
You know, on the same note, I actually one time, you probably had this happen a lot, but I was in the kayak waiting and came back to the kayak, and it wasn't a cobia, but I had a redfish sitting right under my kayak. And I threw a shrimp to it, and it ate it right from under my kayak. But the cobia is the same kind of creature. It likes to be around things. And I bet you've walked back to your kayaks and had fish underneath them.
It's happened.
Yeah. That's funny when that happens.
I caught a cobia. This was probably coming up on 20 years ago. This is the only time I've ever seen my hook penetrate the fish's lips. And I was anchored up catching silver trout and whiting.
Right.
And there's a cobia comes and lays right underneath my kayak.
Nice.
So, anyway, I had some live shrimp, so I found the biggest one, and I put it on there. And with my hand, I just lowered it there. And this was with an ultralight rod. I didn't have any of my bigger rods rigged up. I busted stuff off. So anyway, this Kobe came over, slurped that shrimp. So I actually set the hook, tugging it with my hand, and I actually saw the hook penetrate his lips.
Oh, wow. Wow, you're lucky you didn't burn your hand with the line.
Well, I let go of it right after I set the hook on it. So 4-pound monofilament.
Wow.
And I caught that fish. That fish came home with me. The only reason I caught him, the wind and the tide changed, so I pulled my anchor up, and I just held that fish off while the wind and the current blew me over to shallow water.
Right, right.
And I threw myself out of my boat and threw the fish in a headlock at the same time, and I put my kayak under the underarm, and I dragged him up on the beach.
Oh, and, I tell you, that's great stuff.
That was about a 40-pound fish.
That's great stuff. Yeah, I'm still not in that range. Now, we do get every year at the Skyway, I would say that we get we get a number of 40s, we get a few 50s, and we even get a few fish that are in the 60-70 range.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a tough fish to land. Even the 40-pounders are tough to land out there,
right,
because of the structure. But every year we'll get a few monsters, and then there's the ones that don't get landed. And they're probably like fish you've seen. I've seen some around Port Manatee and at the piers that I'm guessing they're in the 80-plus range.
Right.
And that's just a monster fish.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that fish, the real monster cobia, they might have five or six other little guys all around them.
Right.
Because they're the structure at that point. But, yeah, that's a neat fish to see.
What's also curious about cobia, they won't leave another cobia.
Right.
So if you hook a little one, you throw it in a rod hole and leave him swimming there, and you'll keep catching the other cobia because they won't leave that one.
It is. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. We had just maybe a month and a half or 2 months ago, we had a big bull shark came in, and a bunch of the customers at the pier had noticed it and noticed how big it was. And there were three or four cobias around that, and then underneath them were even more cobias. Now, little guys, the ones around the shark were in the 30-40 range. The shark was a huge fish, 8-9 foot. And then even under them, there were more cobias. So they're just they just want to be around each other. They want to school like that.
Right.
But yeah, no, a really, really neat fish.
Well, we're going to be coming up to our first break here, so we'll still have three segments to go. The next segment's the tides and the weather. We've got Paul Bristow from the Skyway Piers here. I'm going to have Paul talk about some of the fishing tackle that he still sells. Paul owned Love Lures for quite some time, and he phased out of that there, but he still has some stuff he's doing. We'll get him to talk about that. Our official website of the radio show, CaptainMel.com, great fishing resource. I'm posting half a dozen new articles to there every day, and the forums are free. You can join the forums. You can ask your questions. We have the Captain Mel Classic once a year. It's a tournament. We have a memorial for Captain Mel. We have that all connected to the website. So all this together, kind of a fun thing that we do. Again, when we get back, we're going to talk more fishing with Paul Bristow, Tides and Weather segment by Werner Paddle. The weather, I can tell you this, I'll cover that right now. It's hot.
That's for sure.
It's July, and everyone's complaining about it. I tell people the same thing. I'll say, this is the same as every other July I've ever seen.
It is, and August will be the same, and we hope for better in September and October.
Yeah, it's hot. It's going to remain hot. We're gonna see more and more of the afternoon storms. We're starting to get into that pattern. We're gonna get it nearly every day. So that's pretty much it for the weather. When we get back, we'll run across the tides, and we'll go back to more Fish Talk Radio with Mr. Paul Bristow from the Skyway Piers. So take a list of these messages from our sponsors, which the Skyway Piers is one of our sponsors. And when we get back, we're going to continue with the show. So we'll be right back after these messages. The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit Geico.com today.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And here we are, segment two of the show, the tides and the weather, and I covered the weather in the last segment. Heat is heat, and, the tides, we are coming up, we've got a pretty good week of tides. We're coming back on the full moon. The fishing around the new moon was really good.
Right. It was good at the piers, too. It usually is. Yeah. Yep. And the full can be good, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably going to see a good amount of strong action this week, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you get the hill tides like we get in the summer, Neil, there's a number of things you can do. At the Skyway, one of them is you know, blue crabbing. I don't know if you've done much of that out there, but it's a very popular pastime, especially at the North Pier. And what you want to set up a great blue crab flush, and it's not just blue crabs, it's past crabs and shrimp, but mostly people are in pursuit of the blue crabs.
Right.
But we get a hill tide late afternoon that bleeds into the evening, and people go out mostly on the north. The south gets some too, but the north is a better pull. And they go with long-handled dip nets, almost something like you would see for a pool net, something to, you know, to clean a pool, but then a fishing net on the end rather than that the very fine mesh of a pool net. And they go with headlamps on that outgoing at night, and you can get a mess of nice blue crabs. And for people that like to eat them or people that like to fish them, it's a heck of a thing to see. And that does go through the summer, so we'll have at least through July, probably into August, and sometimes into September. It really depends on the tides because, you know, the hill tides, as we get towards September, they're much weaker then.
Right.
They're much weaker. We don't have that incredible pull that you have right in the middle of the summer. But the other thing you can do on those tides is tarpon get really fired up, and it's because of the same pull. It pulls past crabs, shrimp, and blue crabs, and tarpon want to eat it. So those fish are there. They're fired up. Whenever they see that kind of bait presented in mass, they get way more aggressive. So people, you know, that think of tarpon, oh, the tarpon sometimes are very fickle, they won't hit. When they're in the middle of a push like that, where there's stuff going over them all the time and there's a bunch of fish, they tend to eat because they don't want their buddy to outcompete them at that point.
Right.
So that's a great time to fish tarpon at the Skyway. Good time to fish grouper, good time to fish mangrove snapper as well.
How's your snapper bite this year?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's
I would say as good as it's been in several years. Yeah,
well, that's amazing because last year was an awesome year. So
yeah, this year's been excellent. Lots of keeper fish. I would say that the one thing that maybe makes me think this year's a little bit better than last, although I wouldn't say much because you're right, last year was a great mangrove snapper year.
Right.
But this year we have enough guys that are releasing 10 and 11 inch fish and looking for the 12, 13, 14s to make their limit. And they're not, you know, culling or anything. They're just immediately saying, I don't need that 10 and a half, 11 fish because I know I'll get
exactly
enough bigger fish.
Right.
Which overall probably shows a very healthy snapper fishery when they're letting those guys go. Because, you know, heck, by next year, that fish could be 13, 14 inches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about you? Have you seen a good snapper bite this
year?
You
know, I don't use bait, so yep. I don't really know.
Yeah. I'm guessing occasionally they'll pick up.
We catch them on lures. Probably twice a month we'll catch a snapper on a lure.
Right.
About a year ago, there was one day where we caught four of them on lures.
Nice.
Which is very unusual, but my brother and nephew fish them, and they haven't had any trouble getting their snapper fast.
Right.
And just like Paul was saying, they're keeping the bigger ones because there's no use in keeping an 11-inch fish when you know you're going to get some 14, 15-inch fish.
Exactly. And we've had a lot of that. And like I said, even the last few years have been good. This year especially good. We've had several fish, you know, pushing 20 inches. I haven't personally seen one over 20. I've heard of some. But then you're talking about it, you know, an offshore size fish.
Yeah.
And you know, then you have to scale up a little. I do get enough people that ask me out there, Neil, that, hey, I want to find those big, big snapper. And there's a few things you can do that will increase your odds. It doesn't mean you're going to get them, but increases your odds. I would say when you're looking for that fish, you're probably going to have to up your leader from a traditional 25 or 30 fluoro to a 40 or 50 fluoro.
Right.
You're also going to, you know, consider using a small live pinfish or live greenback versus cut bait.
Right.
And you're not going to get the number of bites. And you have to be satisfied with that because that, you know, 18, 20-inch fish inshore is, you know, he's not going to be around a whole bunch of other ones that same size. He's
right.
Probably got his own little hole. And we do get some of those. But, yeah, it's not an everyday occurrence. But the guys that are willing to make those few little changes, they do tend to get some really big fish. I mean, they're not the size that you get on an overnight trip, but when you get to the 18, 20-inch range inshore from, you know, from a pier, that's still a heck of a fish.
That's a big snapper.
Yep. Fine eating and fun to catch.
Yes.
Fun to catch.
Yeah, the strike, I mean, they're hard strike, hard fight, and they're similar to grouper. They'll go for structure.
Yep.
And they will break you off.
Yep. Yep. And that's why, you know, like I said, for the guys looking for that really choice snapper, the thing is you get more bites when you're on lighter line. And there's no doubt in my mind that the guys that are willing to fish 15 and 20 fluoro get way more bites.
Sure.
But they also lose way more fish.
They do.
So, you know, are you willing to wait out that big one? You might get him on 20 fluoro. But you're way more likely to get them on 40 fluoro. But you're not going to get the number of bites on 20. So you're going to be spending a little bit of time waiting for that fish.
Right.
And then, you know, that it's kind of a balancing act. You know, we often talk about leader size and mono versus braid. And it comes down to, what, you know, what's the fish you want? If you want a real monster, you're not going to get a bite every 10 minutes.
Right.
You're not going to get a bite every 5 minutes. You might have to wait 15 to 20 to get a bite or even half an hour. But if you're looking for that specific fish, then scaling up is probably the only way, at least at the piers, you're going to land that fish.
So, Paul, how about flounder? Have you guys been having the people catch a lot of flounder out there?
You know, they've been pretty good. I would say about a month ago, Neil, was a little better. I was seeing more flounder. I did just see one last night, and it was a nice fish, probably about 18-inch fish, which is a real nice fish at the piers. That was caught on cut bait. A lot of times we get flounder that are all around the reefs. One thing is when you're fishing the reefs at the Skyway, you know, there's artificial reefs that line both piers. And you can usually tell when you're on it, you're going to lose a few rigs. You're going to feel your rig fall off the reef or pull off the reef. And in those first few feet, give that a little bit of time. So let's say you've come off the reef just a little bit and your bait's now in this. And you can tell when it's hitting the sand because it doesn't feel the same.
Right.
Those first few feet away from the reef, the flounder seem to love to be right near where there's a hard bottom, but they're in the sand.
Correct.
They're near a rock. And we do get some really nice fish. Some of the biggest ones we see are when guys are free-lining pins for grouper. And then, you know, they're slowly feeding out a 3 or 4 inch pinfish right to the reefs. And whenever we get fish that are 20 inches plus, usually it's on those. I would say the one exception to that is when you fish along the approach section by the toll booth, maybe up to the dumpsters, there's a lot of rocks by sand in that entire area, and part of that is because the retaining walls have fallen into the water.
Right.
So everyone sees the wall and sees the rocks, and they think, oh, those are the only rocks. Well, those rocks have been replaced over years and years,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of those have fallen in. So if you're fishing tight to the wall, but maybe, you know, 10, 15 feet away, there's a lot of those rocks that are still laying there, and snook will sit off them, trout will sit off them, and flounder will sit off them.
Right.
And it's very common for the flounder to be just fine sitting around, you know, snook and trout, but maybe a little more on the sand than they are.
Correct.
Yeah. How about you? I bet you've seen some nice flounder inshore, huh?
You know, this year, compared to the last 3 years, this year the flounder have been down. In numbers and size, it has not been as good a year. Now, last 6 weeks, I have not been going to where I would normally be doing my flounder fishing.
Right.
Where I have been going, I would normally have pretty good flounder fishing, and we're catching next to none of them. So I would say overall, this flounder year is down from the past couple of years.
You know, I probably right at the piers as well. Probably yeah. right. You know, I just happened to see a nice one last night, so but it has been a couple of weeks, and I've seen some nice ones this year. I'm certainly not seeing a bunch. On a good year, you know, you can get a number of them in a sitting, especially fishing around the toll booth areas or even just off the reefs. You can – it's tough to get a limit. I think is the limit still 10 fish?
It is. Yeah,
which is pretty high.
Yeah.
It's tough to get a limit, but occasionally when they're really on, it can be done. I've only done it a few times in my whole life, but you know, when the bite's on, when they're going, you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, we haven't seen that kind of action in probably a couple of years.
Yeah.
Probably at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, last year we had quite a few 50 flounder days. We haven't
wow.
had, we haven't had a single one of those this year. We've had wow. a couple of 30 flounder days.
Right.
But that was earlier in the spring, and then it seemed to get even slower, and I kind of just stopped fishing them. You know,
yeah.
we would catch a few on accident, but we kind of stopped fishing them.
Yeah. You know, and a jig, and I know you fish a lot of jigs on your trips. That's also a good way to fish them at the Skyway. A lot of people don't go to jig and soft plastic, but those approach sections right by the toll booth on both sides, not north or south, but both sides, very good place to fish a swim tail or a jerk worm on a jig head. There's a number of species that will hit that, flounder, snook, trout, even baby tarpon. Very good place to fish that. So don't ignore the soft plastics at the pier. You can get fish on those.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you guys use a lot of that. And, you know, flounder, they succumb to that approach a lot. They're fairly aggressive when they're fired up.
That's what we use for them. We throw those soft plastics to them most of the time.
Yep. Yeah, some of my nicest ones have been on soft plastic tails.
Yeah. For Paul, we're going to take our second break, and when we get back, we got the Come On Man segment, so we're going to shoot it to break number two, and when we get back, we'll have more with Paul Bristow.
Rocking on the bridge, riding out on the lake shore, sitting in the sun, I'm sure it'll hit me.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have. Durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
Jim Rome, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Sean Payton, my guest. I want to ask you about Will Smith. He played for you in New Orleans. What was he like as a person, and how will you remember him?
He was fantastic. He was a tremendous leader. I would say he was extremely tough. And when it came down to crunch time, and a guy players felt was a producer, was very talented, and also had a real good smile about him and a good way about him. Man, it just, you know, it was a hit in the gut for all of us.
Jim Rome, weekdays from noon till 3 on Sports Talk 1040 The Team.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
Segment three of the show. Bang, bang, bang. We're halfway done, Paul.
All right.
So, the Come On Man segment. That's one where we usually tell a story, something ridiculous we saw someone do in the previous week. And I don't really have one. I normally have two or three of those stories, but
I've got a good one, and luckily no one got hurt during this one, but I do have a good one. We have a good number of Goliath grouper that live on both fishing piers, and they're year-round residents.
Yeah.
They're especially common in the bait shop areas and at the end of the piers. I think the bait shop areas, they're so common because a lot of dead bait goes in there. If a bunch of bait dies or a bunch of people are dumping their bait, it all goes in around the bait shop area. And this is going back a little ways, but we had a guy that had great tackle. I mean, he had the right tackle. He had a Pen 80, and he had a real stout stick, and so he was all geared up, and he had a belt on. And sure enough, he got bit, and he got pulled right in. And
he went over the edge?
Yeah, right over the edge, and he was still hooked up. Now, luckily, the fish broke off, and he was fine. The Coast Guard was called. He was picked up. And people laughed, but that could have turned, and nothing happened off. He was fine. He was a little distraught. He didn't lose his tackle or anything. He lost the fish. But that's something that could go horribly wrong if it hadn't worked out like it did. So I would say that,
I saw, it was probably 20 years ago, the one I saw. Someone throwing a cast net, and back then you weren't supposed to throw a cast net off the pier.
Right, yeah. I remember they had a rule against them for a while.
So,
yeah.
This guy throws his cast net, and I was watching. I was like, uh-oh. His cast net went right over one of those giant rays.
Oh, geez.
And this thing took off, and I was curious to see what was going to happen. That ray didn't have any trouble swimming with a cast net around it. Well, the guy had that rope around his hand,
yeah.
And he got catapulted over the side.
Oh, no.
And boom, he's in the water, so this is back when I was more athletic. So I ran over my car, and I grabbed a life vest out of the back. And I got it out there before that stingray started dragging him further away. We got that life vest to him.
Boy.
And then
that could have been horrible, though.
It could have killed him almost instantly. If that thing went down, he might have drowned right away. But
There's one other one comes to mind. This is funny. Now, this one no one was near getting hurt with, but this is quite a funny story. We had a fella, and this is going back probably 2 years ago, that had a big cobia on right by the bait shop. We sell drop nets, which are probably, 3.5 foot in diameter. They have a weight.
I used to have one.
Yeah. And it's a way to land fish at the pier that have a size limit. You can land them live and release them live with the net.
Right.
So anyway, we have a guy run into the bait shop, and he's got a cobia, and he said it's big, and he handed his rod to his buddy. And the buddy's outside, and he buys one of these nets, and they're not inexpensive. We carry a very nice quality brand.
Right.
And they're, fairly expensive. So anyway, he went and bought one. We only had one. So he went and bought it, and he ran right outside, and I don't know what he was thinking. He obviously wasn't familiar with it, but the rope that is attached to the net is all, coiled up right on the side of the net, and he just threw the whole thing right on top of the fish. So it caught the fish. It sank. He didn't have any of the rope in his hand.
Oh, no.
Broke the cobia. Huff.
Lost the net.
His buddy was just looking at him, and the guy from the bait shop just put his hands on his face, and he said, oh, no. And the guy was so bummed that he said he just put his head down, and then he realized what he had done, that he hadn't grabbed the line. But, and I'm sure that the fish probably lived. But, that was a good one. But what a loss. And it was a big fish, I guess. So, you see enough of this stuff on the water like that. It's funny stuff. And like I said, no one got hurt, but still, just a bad way to lose a big fish and a nice net.
Yeah, if you're going to do extreme stuff, fish for one of those Goliaths or you're throwing your cast net, may not be bad to throw a life vest on when you're doing it.
No, exactly.
If you end up flying over the side, you stand a better chance.
Yeah, and, the guy that was doing the Goliath, he was sitting on the rail, which is a really bad idea at the piers overall.
Right.
But it's even worse when you're fishing for a fish that can get to 300-400 pounds. Then it's just a terrible idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have the leverage on you when you're on the rail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do. They have the leverage on you. And like I said, he wasn't hurt. But, yeah, so it's quite a story, though.
So did they rebuild all the railings? I knew they were doing construction on stuff.
They have done a bunch of them. In fact, both piers are really starting to look nice. We had a bunch of railings that were damaged by years of salt water.
Right.
You know how abrasive salt water is. It's just on anything metal, and there's rebar in all those,
right.
all the rails. It's just so it's so destructive, but no, a bunch of the railings have been redone. They're going to redo all of them on both sides. So I think we're getting within a
I'm guessing with getting within a few months of them being completely done. But no, looking very nice. So next time you come out, yeah, you'll have to see. But you'll notice, yeah, all the railings that used to be chipped and damaged, those have all been redone. Maybe save for a few hundred yards on either side. So yeah,
okay.
They're really getting there. And they've actually done work underneath too, Neil. There was some damage underneath the structure, and they have blasted that off, inserted new material, and then put a new kind of concrete that is much more salt resistant than the old was. So no, at least for now, that the piers are going to be in good shape and a great place for people to go visit.
Are they going to rip down any more of that other side, or are they leaving it as is?
I have not heard any plans for that. You know, when they first closed that, it was talked about. I would say right now that's not in the works.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that it won't come into the works down the line.
Right.
But right now, not in the works. Yeah, yeah. And when they first did it, it was brought up, and like I said, right now I'm just not hearing much of that.
The ones they ripped down, did they drop that in the bay? Did they?
You know, that was actually, I think a lot of that went to Sarasota.
Okay.
From what I was told, I don't know if that's accurate, but I was told that was heading towards Sarasota. The interesting thing about some of the teardowns on the pilings especially is they thought that they could make those break right even with the bottom, and that did not happen.
Okay.
So if you can picture where old pilings were on the open sections, there's often a foot to a foot and a half piece of structure right there. And you know that's all it takes to hold fish, especially in tide.
Oh, yeah.
Because they just want to tuck behind it. So some of those open areas are fantastic fishing spots. And you can visualize, you know, people often want to see the reefs. It's hard to see the reefs in the summer. In the winter, much easier.
Sure.
Hard to see the reefs in the summer. But with the torn down sections, if you look how the pilings are spaced and then just visualize how it would be where you're standing in one of the places where they're ripped down, you can almost say, okay, there should be a few pilings right here. And if there's a little left, there's going to be fish on them.
Right.
Yeah, great spots, actually. They're great spots. I would call them underused spots. Very good spots.
So, Paul, before we go to our final break, what are the fees to go out on the Skyway, and people do not need a fishing license? Tell everyone the whole deal with...
You bet. Well, here's a basic rundown. On the Skyway, nobody needs a fishing license. So if you're from out of state or if you're just local and you don't have one,
mm-hmm.
when you're on the pier, you're covered by the pier's license. And the basic admission rate is $4 for a car, $4 for each adult. Kids between 6 and 12 are $2, and if kids are under 6, they're free. And we also have a lot of people that ask about passes. If you have the Florida State Parks Pass, then you get a third off the entire admission. So we're not one of the completely free parks, whereas a lot of them are. There's about three or four that are not. We're one of the ones where you get a discount. But if you do have the Florida State Parks Pass, then you would get a third off any admission that you would pay. And that ticket, Neil, that's good for 24 hours. So
right.
A lot of people say, hey, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Well, you know, the answer is, hey, you can come back tomorrow. You can come back later tonight.
Right.
You can fish several times with a pass. So you
so
can
the pass is good for 24 hours
right.
from the time you get it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yep. So, if, you know, we have a lot of people that will come early in the morning, fish till it just gets too hot, and they'll roll back in the middle of the night and fish till... You know, the next day, that happens a lot this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially, you know, when we get in the mid-90s, midday, a lot of people will fish the first few hours of the morning.
Right.
When it gets too hot, they go home, take a rest. And when sun's getting ready to go down, they'll come out, catch bait, and fish into the night. So, good way to use the pass that way.
That is what I used to do. Back when I was a baseball umpire, I'd get back in late September.
Yep.
I would fish the piers, like, 6 to 8 in the morning,
yep.
And then I would go home, and then I would come back at 8, 9 o'clock at night.
It's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Great way to do it. And, you know, and especially for people visiting Florida, you know, to not worry about the whole licensing thing it's very handy. Very
right.
handy. And, you know, FWC is good with us as far as giving us reg books and all that stuff. So we get lots of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And we actually get a lot of officers that come through and overall they're very helpful guys.
Yes, they are.
So, yeah, always good to see them for enforcement, but overall they're very helpful guys.
That's good to hear. I've had the same experience. I've been pleased with those guys.
Yep.
Well, again, we're coming up on our final break here, and we'll have one more segment with Paul Bristow. He's a guy we're going to drag in here regularly. Everyone's going to enjoy hearing what Paul has had to say. CapMel.com is our official website. You can find us, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Facebook. But we get back, we'll have one more segment to talk fishing with Paul. We're going to talk a little bit about the Pompano jig and the teaser in the final segment. And just go ahead and talk a little bit more fishing. And so why don't we go ahead and take that last break, and then we'll finish the show off strong.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price-competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $28 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-513-0258. That's 1-800-513-0258. 1-800-513-0258. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Twitter. Tweeting.
Stay up to date with the most in-depth coverage of your favorite teams. Follow Sports Talk Florida on Twitter at Sports Talk FLA and like us on Facebook.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1040, The Team, powered by NBC Sports.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
And we're back. Segment four of the show. We almost have another one wrapped up for the week, Paul. And, Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you for having me in. It's always good to be here and always enjoyable to talk about the piers. I most of the stuff I know about the piers I've learned from other people. So, people really like to learn about them. So you always try and help people learn. And I'm sure in your business, a lot of times you're just passing on what you've learned over the years. And
yes.
And that's kind of with the piers, it's been that way for me. I sold tackle in the Bay Area for 10 years on a fairly large scale. And even back then, I was making rigs for the piers and out there all the time. But you learn a lot, and you tend to know, some of the people that you see over the years that are quite good at certain things. And it's interesting. I wouldn't say that there's any one single person that I could say, oh, that person knows everything, because the piers are like any other kind of fishing. You know, you the more you specialize in something and get good at something, the better you are at that. But it's hard to be real broad and be good at every single thing. I know a few people that are pretty good at most of the seasons there, but are they as good as the guy that just focuses on the one fish and puts all his work into that? No. Those are the guys. I think it's the same with any other kind of fishing. You probably see it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably see it all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. But the nice thing out there is we get a lot of people that are in their first trip to the saltwater, and that's really fun. That's a fun thing to see, and I bet you see some of that in the kayaks as well when they're...
Every week.
Oh, it's fun, huh? Yeah, boy, people, I mean, they're excited if they get little jacks or pinfish.
Oh, yeah.
A blue runner, and I mean, a baby shark. Baby sharks are the rage at the piers. a lot of people haven't caught sharks, and we have a bunch of 2 to 3 foot sharp nose, bonnet heads, black tips out there.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are new to the saltwater, they just love them.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a really fun fish, and a lot of people are coming with their freshwater tackle, and that's just fine for those fish. Now, it's not fine for a big bull or a lemon. You know,
right.
we know that that's not going to be adequate. But for a little black tip or a little sharp nose or a little bonnet head, it's perfect. And it actually makes the fish a lot more fun to catch. And I'm guessing you get bonnets that pick up jigs and black tips that pick up jigs, and they love it.
Yes.
People love that stuff.
Yeah, we actually, silver trout are still in one location, so... Catch a lot of those. You know, when we finished up the other fish, we'll stop in this one hole.
Yep.
And they're real good for making my fish spread. But when the sharks are in there, the sharks will whack the silver
trout.
They
love them, don't they? They love silver trout. Yeah. Everything loves silver trout.
So we had spinner sharks and we had blacktip sharks eating them last week.
Nice.
And the people just got a kick out of that because they had fun catching those silver trouts.
Yeah.
But the one guy I told him, I saw the shark zigzagging, and I said, just flip your bail open.
Yep.
And he's kind of looking at me fine. I go, flip your bail open. So
yep.
He flipped his bail open, then lines like tearing off. I go, okay, close your bail. And then it was, zzz, I go, you got a shark.
Nice.
And,
that's fantastic.
He was excited. He goes, I've never caught a shark before. I go, unless he cuts the line, you're going to get your first shark. And he hooked it just right. We
perfect.
Got it up. And it was about a 3.5 foot black tip.
Yeah, which is a great, like, great fish.
Yeah.
Great fish. In fact, you know, I used to have black tips hit jigs on occasion. I'm guessing you do on occasion. When they're fired up, they'll hit a jig.
Oh, yeah.
And they hit it hard.
Yeah.
So they're really fun on that. But, no, we get a lot of people that just love that. The other thing that it seems like people enjoy that are newer to Florida is we have so many different species out there that, I mean, a lot of times you have to look up what you're catching. And people like that. They're like, what is this?
Yeah.
They'll show me a picture. And, you know, I usually know, but I don't know all of them. I mean, sometimes I got to go to the book and say,
this
well,
year,
what is that thing?
This year, my buddy Ryan caught something, and he's fighting it. And he goes, I don't know what it is. I got to look at it. And I got over there, and I go, God, it looks like a massive mullet. And then he got it up closer, and I said, I don't know what it is.
Wow.
And
mullet, what would look like that? That's interesting.
It was... Well, it was kind of the blunt nose of a mullet, but the rest of it, when I got a look at it, I keep forgetting the name of it, but leatherback pufferfish or something.
Wow.
And so the funny thing was, he caught that one. It would have been a world record if we kept it. He would have had a world record. That thing was huge. So 2 days later, I caught one.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd never seen one before, and a week after that, my brother caught one.
Wow.
So a fish I'd never seen before in my thousands upon thousands of hours fishing Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Went from 0 to 3 in a week.
Wow. You know, we occasionally get crazy stories like that of fish. You know, every year we get a few stargazers and anglerfish that are, lot real weird bottom dwellers. We eat a lot of batfish.
Yeah.
We had a fella that said he saw an opa, which is that, the opa, the ocean sunfish that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, real bright colored. Now, that fish wasn't caught, so that was unconfirmed. But this fella had worked on an offshore boat, and he said, no, I've seen him. So that's what it was. The only thing I could think with that, Neil, is maybe a ballast of a ship. If you think of all the ships that come into Tampa Bay, and they're often dumping thousands of gallons of water.
Sure.
We could have all kinds of stuff.
Sure.
We get gar out at the pier on occasion.
Right.
After a very heavy rain, you'll have Florida gar that will hang around. I think until the salt returns, they're fine there. When the salt returns, then they tend to leave.
Right.
But no, we do. We get gar out there. We had a scorpion fish about a week ago.
Did you?
Which is really funky looking.
How about the lionfish? Is anyone catching lionfish there?
I have not seen any, but I have. I do have a few guys that love to dive the bay, and they have seen them in the bay.
Have
but
they?
We have not seen them at the piers. I'm sure if they take over the bay, we will get them eventually.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how people target that. Do they feed on a certain bait? I don't know a whole lot about them. But I know two guys that love to free dive, and they've got them in the bay. I just don't think we're anywhere near the numbers of the East Coast. But it, the way that fish goes, I'm guessing it won't take very long.
Right.
Yep. I think they reproduce rapidly. I think they protect their young. So they do everything that it would take for an invasive to get, you know, to become a problem. Yep. And that habitat's probably perfect for them at the piers.
So, Paul, tell me about that pompano jig that you have. And tell people how they can get it, where they can get it.
Yeah, we sell pompano jigs at the pier, Neil, and I tend to like a real strong hook, and I tend to like really nice paint. So we tend to use double X hooks, saltwater style hooks. 3/4 is the most popular weight at the piers, but sometimes we go down to a half or a 3/8. And as far as the paint, do things a little bit differently than some of the people on the market. We go with a base nylon and then epoxy on top of the nylon.
Very nice.
So we have a coat of epoxy. You know, the thing about pompano jigs is they get banged against the rocks. They sometimes when you cast around the piers, you hit the bridge.
Yeah.
So with cheaper paint, it comes off. With that epoxy coat, you get a lot more lasting. So you know, I sold jigs for so long, Neil, that I'm fussy about them.
Yeah.
I like good paint. I like good hooks. And other than that, there's not much to a jig. Jig's a jig. But if you have a good hook and good paint, you tend to get a lot more use. And that good hook comes in when you hook up really nice fish, which can happen anytime. Most pompano may not be more than a couple pounds, but, you know, you could hook a cobia or a permit, and then you're in for a serious battle.
Right. Black drum's another one that eats those
things. Absolutely, they do. They do. You know, I've got a bunch of buddies that love to pompano fish candy, and they get some big black drum of candy. I'm sure I've seen you guys pictures up by Gandy.
Yeah, there's
but they hook black drum on pompano jigs there all the time.
Yeah, it's Gandy's a big one. Courtney Campbell's another one where you can count on there being plenty of black drum.
Yep. You know, I think that's a natural. If you think about it, the black drum is looking for crustaceans just like a pompano would be. So it probably looks like a little crab to them. And they're even though they're monsters, it's the same feeding thing. They're like, oh, there's a little crab. I'll just suck that in.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's a lot different when you got your little pompano rod and you got a 30-pound drum on. You're in for a – especially in a kayak. You're in for a serious pull.
I think the kayak is an advantage for doing it that way because the maneuverability is better.
Right. Let them pull you around a little bit too, right?
You can duck around the pilings, get the right angle to drag them out of there a little easier than if you're in a powerboat.
Right, right. And I suppose it wears them down when you let them pull you.
Yeah.
You know, it tires them out. But no, I enjoy catching big black drum. And they will hit jigs. People always think of crabs, but they will hit jigs.
Sure they will.
Absolutely.
I prefer to do it on the jigs. I know other people, they throw crabs to them, but as soon as you're doing that, you're going to start catching catfish.
Big time. Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about any kind of bait in the bay, is the more you go with bait, it's like dead baiting for tarpon. You'll get them, but you're also going to get a whole bunch of catfish, too.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to get a whole bunch of them.
Well, Paul, that's going to wrap it up for another week. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, Neil, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being here, and hopefully I helped some of the listeners, and we'll try and do what we can.
We'll bring you in again soon for sure.
That's great. That's great. Thanks again for having me.
Thanks for coming, Paul. To everyone else, we'll be back again next week. Captain Jason, Captain Travis are going to do an iCast review for you. So we'll look forward to seeing all you guys next week.